Hi, and welcome to Gamercast, episode 167. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
And I'm Catherine.
This is the episode for the 30th of August, 2009.
So we've actually had letters then this week?
Well, we had it a couple of weeks back, I just didn't see it.
Oh, right. You're Matt, doing your admin work.
Matt, a.k.a. Oxlow.
God.
Excuse me.
Start that again.
That's all you crisps that you've been eating.
Bread
roll, thank you very much. Yeah, he says, I just wondered if you guys have had to go on the... I just wondered if you guys have had a go on this game and what did you think of it? http://www.tailworlds.com
He's meant to say it.
Oh, well, I'm going to read how he
wrote
it.
Fine, whatever.
I is called Mount and Blade. Has anyone heard of this game?
No.
No.
It's just weird. I had a look at it and I just clicked on the buy button and it just came up and said, thank you for... And I didn't read the considering to buy Mount and Blade. It says, thank you for... And then I read, buying Mount and Blade. I was like, no, I don't want to buy it. Lost. No. No, I just clicked on the wrong thing. Yeah, it looks weird. It's obviously not MMO, I'm guessing.
I don't know what it is. I don't really care, to be honest. Shall we get on with the rest of the show?
Was that the one you moaned about for looking old?
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's open it and actually see what it is, shall we?
Yeah, it's...
Oh, yeah, this weird. Is a game which looks about 5 years old. Well, 10 years old.
It does a little bit. That's why I was curious whether it was some sort of, like, maybe freebie MMO or what.
Wait.
It's a bit weird.
That looks familiar.
It's got your standard put on whatever you want, but it does look like a video game for someone who's into reenactments. Everything to be historic looking. Yeah, looks weird. Never come across my radar before.
No, maybe he should play it and tell us if it's any good or not.
Yeah. Seems to be like something that's not been published, that is just from this website only. Seems it's been out for a while. It's got loads of different patch releases.
Anyway, let's move on, because we've got a lot to cover in this episode, as we missed last week.
Yeah, due to technical issues.
Let's kick off with Quake Live.
Yeah. The people for Quake Live have announced that they are now being compatible with Mac and Linux. Although, the annoying thing is, they've only managed to get it to work with Safari. They've got some issues with Firefox. I don't know if they fixed them now. But it means that it kept coming up and saying, sorry, do not recognize the browser you are using. Thanks.
Maybe you should use Windows.
Then do Windows for Mac.
Maybe you should use Windows.
Well, Sarah's taking a stained glass course, so I'll get her to make me one. Yeah, so at least it's going a step further.
Quake Live, for those who don't know, is basically Quake Free Arena ported to the web. I say ported to the web, it's not really ported to the web, because it's still a 300 megabyte install.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's running in Flash or Silverlight. Even though Quake 1 has been ported to Silverlight, and it works actually quite well. So no, it's still a standalone executable browser plugin sort of thing.
Yeah. Not too bad. It was just nice to see that people are converting stuff over to the other formats, but yeah.
Anyway, it's nice to have the additional support for those couple of people who want to play Quake Free.
Which you could do anyway.
could do anyway.
It's probably me and maybe two other people. They don't like Quake. I just forced them to say they did.
Did you play Trials HD?
No, I tried downloading it and...
and you failed.
No, I was trying to download that and Shadow Complex and Explosion Man, wherever you pronounce
Explosion
it.
Man.
Explosion Man.
Explosion Man.
Explosion Man.
Yeah.
I want to say Explosion Man or Explosion Man. And for some strange reason, every time I downloaded Shadow Complex, it didn't come up as playable on my Xbox. I couldn't find it. So I click on it again, and he goes, do you want to re-download it? And by that point, I'd had a go at Splosy Man. But I ain't got round to playing Trials HD. It was the last one to download onto the Xbox. So I haven't had a chance to actually give that a go. But it looks pretty good from what I've seen.
It's quite cool. It's like a lot of old Nintendo Excitebike kind of games.
Yeah.
But on a 360, of course.
With all the nice graphics and three-dimensional...
Stupid physics, though, because his arms rotate.
He looks like he's swimming.
When he falls off, he looks like he's swimming a lot.
Kind of like that frogman that you would wind up and put in the water and his arms just spin at the joints.
Yeah, like those. Yeah. But crazy. It's because of the physics for some reason. I don't know. But it's quite fun. It doesn't explain enough, though. We didn't know what we were doing first time round when we played it.
Oh, so it doesn't seem to be going through, like, push this
button. What do you mean, we?
You played it and you didn't. Well,
he didn't read the manual.
We didn't know anything about it. And it has little billboards inside the game that are just...
To give you hints.
Yeah, like an illustration with an arrow. And we weren't sure if you were supposed to be jumping at the end or just stopping. But we got the hang of it, and it's quite cool. I know loads of people love it as well, so... Might buy it at some point. It's 1,200 points, though.
Yeah. It's, they seem to be a bit pricey, all of the holiday...
Yeah, a lot of the games that have come out recently are all 1,200 points.
Yeah, because I think it only cost me 800 Microsoft points for Battlefield.
Really?
I'm sure it was something like that. I don't know. I bought it by accident. Paul's been winding me up about it. Everyone at work as well. I've saved up all of my Microsoft points to buy Capcom versus Marvel 2.
Marvel versus Capcom 2.
Yeah. And I downloaded the trial demo for that and didn't realize I'd click on the real one, and I downloaded it and I went to go buy... I was like, oh, it's out. So I went to have a look at my Microsoft points and it said, you have 60 points. What do you mean you had 60 points? I had plenty spare from when I got the expansion for Grand Theft Auto. I'm like, okay, what's happened? So I went through all of my history, and the last thing that I downloaded that I was like, oh, I downloaded that. And then I went, hang on, that didn't say trial next to it. So I went to the game, and it's their full game. I was like, I'm an idiot. But I don't care, it's a good game. It's well worth the Microsoft points. But yeah, they're getting a little bit steep.
Wait, what they are. It's all...
Yes, they are steep. Developers. They should knock them down to about 100 points each.
But Splosion Man's only 800.
Yeah. And
it's,
I quite
at
like
least it's cheaper.
I thought that was quite a nice platform game.
Yeah, Splosion Man is quite good.
We've got stuff to talk about it later.
We can talk about it now. It's next on the show.
Okay, we can talk about it now then. Fine.
Yeah, so
unless you want to say more about Trials.
Not really. I've only played the trial of it because I haven't bought it.
It's just a 2D motorbike game where you just like...
It is cool though because it made me think of a game on the Game Boy that I always used to love. So
it's I'm nice. Sure I've got something on the Game Boy which is just like that.
It's like Excitebike, Motocross Maniacs kind of game.
I can't remember what the one I had was called. It was on one of those Japanese 68 games and one cartridge
for
the other.
I had my Motocross Maniacs on that. I had to find out what it was called because I wasn't sure of the actual name. So it might have been the same game that you played.
Yeah, probably is. I used to love getting those. I used to get my dad to import them from the Middle East all the time. I like the idea of having more games than just one in one cartridge. See, it's carrying them all. But yes, Explosion Man. I just like making him blow up next to people and scientists turn into lamb chops.
Yeah.
That just freaked me out.
Maybe we should back up and tell people what it is.
Yes. Explosion Man. Yeah, I told him what it is.
You play like a little... What is he made up of?
You play a dude who's like on fire.
Well, he's obviously, I'm guessing, been made up by those scientists.
He's kind of like an experiment.
I'm guessing the story
behind it. He's an experiment, he's escaped,
and he's gone wrong.
Running wild, and he gets depressed if he doesn't blow up. And he gets a bit freaky and stuff. Which is quite cool.
Yeah, you had something negative you wanted to say about it, though.
Yeah, Instead, so basically, because nobody else has explained, you're playing this character who can explode.
Three Ooh. Times.
Hence the name.
Three times.
It's basically a 2D platform where you go around, you blow these scientists
it's
up.
It's not really... Well, you can't call it a platformer so much because all you can do is explode.
Well, yeah,
so you
it's
have
a
to mention
platformer.
That because if you just say it's a platformer, you could imagine the fact that you can just jump around, but you can't.
Okay, yeah,
you're just
know,
exploding.
Explode around.
That's all you do. You explode. Press A, B, X, Y, you explode.
Yeah, but it makes you jump.
I know.
Okay.
You explode, you jump, you bounce.
Yeah, so you go through these levels, and you have to blow these scientist dudes up. And for a start, why don't we replace scientists with astrologers or homeopaths?
Or someone else that you just want to explode.
Stop picking on the scientists.
The reason there's scientists is because they've been spreading lies. I'm sure I read it somewhere. Read it somewhere.
They've been spreading lies about the age of the
I don't
Earth.
Know what they've been
it's
spreading
only
lies
really
about.
6,000
but I'm
years
sure
old.
I read it somewhere.
Let's put some creationists in the game and explode them.
It might have been on the description. I don't know. I'm sure I read that somewhere.
Well, I'm just saying it's, you know, another bash at science like everyone's doing these days.
But no, the thing is, that's the setting of it. That's why they're killing the scientists. I doubt they're killing the scientists because they're against science and everything.
Well, they could have done something else. They could have put creationists in there.
Yeah, but what the hell would they be doing there?
Trying to
they
make
should
Jesus.
Have replace all of the scientists with people from McDonald's.
Isn't that a bit mean? I mean, what the fuck?
I'm sorry, I had a bit of a mean streak in me this week. Someone came up with, like, the best practical joke ever at work. They came in to work, and they basically set it up for the day to keep themselves entertained. They got hold of their brother's mobile phone, gone into the menu, and edited his name on his brother's mobile phone. So instead of it saying Matt, it says God. and then while funny. He was at work, he sent a text to his brother, "Why have you forsaken me and not come to my church of late?" Oh, 15 man. Minutes later, his brother posts on Facebook, "For some strange reason, God's talking to me on a mobile. I'm really confused." His brother's not the sharpest knife in the box. And
maybe he posted that on Twitter or Facebook or whatever you said because it was funny to say that.
I don't know, but it took him 2 hours to work out it was Matt. The fact that Matt's name is no longer in his phone book, I thought would have given it away, because the first person he thought had done it was Matt, and he said, "Oh, very funny, Matt, I know it's you." And he said, "No, I'm not Matt, I may be such and such and such," and that confused him even more.
Right, what's this got to do with Explosion Man?
I don't know, I'm just throwing in a side thing there.
He was talking about God. You were talking about...
Yeah, you were talking about God, so he just reminded me of that. I thought Jesus. It was a really good...
Yeah, but creationists are real people.
There are people who work at McDonald's, but still want to blow them up. Sorry, I just don't like McDonald's.
If you're not careful, you'll be working at McDonald's soon.
Well, they are next door to us, so... Yes, I don't say I really particularly want to go out and buy Explosion Man.
We have.
I bought it straight away after playing the demo. I really liked it. I like the animations.
I think I've got to play it a bit more. I like the look of it. When I watched the demo of it, I was like, wow, this looks really cool.
Well, I saw someone playing it at work.
Well, it's got good animation. The voice acting for the character is really cool as well.
It really fits
the character really nicely.
The hyperactive little kind
yeah.
of...
Yeah. The fact that he starts... like a monkey when you leave him for too long and he's running along. And...
He's kind of like, I hate the fact that I've seen this, but I watched it in uni. What is it? It's a 3D animation. It's got animals in it. What is it? It's
Captain Pugwash.
It had Bruce Willis doing a raccoon or something.
Over the hedge.
Over the hedge. It's like the squirrel from that.
Yes, I know the one you're on about.
Because he also does, like, some of the sounds he makes are exactly like the squirrel as well. I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, so out of 5, I think we would give this game 4.
I'd give it a 5. It's got a nice level structure.
I'd give it a 4.
That's good for you.
Poor level design.
Why?
Really, really repetitive.
Why would you say poor level design?
Too vertical.
Oh,
really
no, that's good. There's vertical and horizontal in it.
That's bad.
It's good.
That's bad.
I found it quite skillful. I was expecting, as soon as I got along and realised that it was just explode, 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 and that's your lot, and then you've got to get around everything to that premise.
Well, no, it's really fast-paced, and you do have to have your wits about you, because you can get caught out.
That's why it's really good level design.
But yeah, I like the pace. It's simple, but still challenging. I was like, this is actually like proper platforming. I'm constantly trying to get the timing right to explode three times, to ricochet off two walls, just to get to a high platform to carry on. And it took me at least a good 10 minutes to do that, because I couldn't do it right. And I was like, there's a challenge.
Well, if you unlock it at any point, so like buy it, some of the levels get super, super hard as well.
Yeah, they are.
Because without knowing beforehand what you're timing it for, you can't do it.
Yeah.
So you die a few times. Gets
but
quite
the
hard.
Good thing is, if you die enough, it lets you skip.
Yeah, if you die so many times on the level, you get the choice to play the coward card or something. What was it?
Way of the coward. Why does that remind me of what Nintendo are doing with the demo mode?
Demo mode? Oh.
Have you heard about this demo mode on Nintendo?
Yeah. I think it sounds a bit stupid.
Mario Wii game's going to be the first ones they're going to implement it on, and if you get stuck, you just shove it in demo mode, and the computer AI takes over and carries on playing the game for you, and gets past it. Then you take over and carry on.
Ideal for players of the Wii, who only play it for about 10 minutes every month.
It just seems like a weird thing. But yeah, that's me going off on a tangent. Sorry.
Anyway, let's move on, because time is ticking. Next thing we wanted to talk about was Everyday Shooter.
Have you got that, Adam?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
When was that? Is that?
It came out ages ago. It's been out for maybe 2 years on the PSN. But because I've got a job now, I decided to buy it.
Yeah, I went through that stage. As soon as I stopped being a student, I started buying way too many things.
I don't know. I just wanted to say that I really liked it. Tim was just playing it. That was what the music was.
Oh, okay. The Last Guy. That's quite good.
Yes. Have you played that?
No. I'm missing all the good stuff.
You can download a trial of it on the PSN, though.
I think that's the problem, is I'm not really... I've downloaded quite a few demos of full games that are coming out on the PSN, but after time I never get around to attempting any of the other stuff.
Yeah, that's like me before I was forced to play all these games.
I downloaded everything possible. You've got to try everything. And if you've got the possibility as well, because half the games they don't release trials for, so you might as well download the trials for the ones that they put them up for.
Yeah, I just know what I'm like. I try something and I go, I want that, and then I go...
Anyway, let's talk about us. Let's talk about the actual game, shall we?
I have no money. Yes.
It's a... What would you call it? Like...
A top-down... saving people
GPS
game.
Using... Well, not GPS... Well, map using...
Aerial
game.
Photograph.
Yes.
Using...
Game. Of places over the world.
Yeah, so basically it's set with like an alien invasion or something.
An alien invasion.
Yeah.
And you're the last guy.
And you're a dude. And you have to like rescue people. So you walk over this map and there's people hidden in buildings and things like that. And you have to go up to them and basically collect them and then bring them back to like an escape zone where they get picked up by an aircraft.
And you've got a time limit and a certain amount of people you've got to save.
Yeah, so...
A quota.
For example, a game might last 3 minutes and you've got to save 1,000 people.
Right.
But there are aliens on the map who patrol it, and if they get in contact with your group of people...
They scare them,
and if they get close enough, they get mushified.
Yes, and they can kill you as well.
Yeah.
You can die.
And this is on PlayStation Network and Xbox?
No, it's only PSN.
PSN.
For now.
No, I doubt it'll come out on 360.
Yeah, you're getting a few of these games where they're...
It was made by Sony.
It'll be one of those to keep close to the chest. Because I know
a clone of it will be done.
Castle Crashers on Xbox 360, Xbox Live, is actually coming to PSN at some point. Because that one I've got, I download and paid for that one, and that's actually an amazing game.
See, I'd buy it, but it's 1,200 points again.
Yeah. I basically got that because I bought a massive points card to get hold of... The Lost and the Damned for GTA. So I had that aside, and I thought, well, I'll treat myself to just one Xbox Live game. And I was playing the demo, and I was like, I really like this because it's very arcadey. It just kind of reminds me of this playstyle of Double Dragon, but not being Double Dragon. and it's very fast paced, and I absolutely love that game. I've not got that far through it, but it's just one of those just pick up and play sort of things and bash the crap out of weird things. It's got a very nice animation mm-hmm. to the way it happened. But yeah, that's coming up for PSN at some point.
Alright, what about this Star Wars Force Unleashed? I gather someone wanted to talk about that.
I just wanted to say I was a bit disappointed.
Yeah, it's still crap in it.
I'm disappointed all round. Just the vibe I got, and from playing the demo when it came out on PSN, was that, okay, I'm a Dark Jedi, I may turn good at some point, I've got really cool lightsabers, I can change the clothes I'm wearing, and I'm just going to run up and down corridors doing really cool kick-ass moves and kicking the ass out of stormtroopers. I completed quite a lot of levels in that game, and I only saw the stormtroopers once. I was really disappointed. I like killing stormtroopers with lightsabers, it's fun. Just reminds me of Jedi Knight on the PC, but
I've got one thing to say about it.
It was disappointing all
the
round.
The animation is shit.
The animation is terrible.
You know, yeah. the first thing you see is like Darth Vader walking off the spaceship. And it just looks stupid.
His legs were moving too far forward.
Yeah, his legs were like in front of his body.
The scary thing is, I actually thought the demo on PSN was better than when I bought it for PlayStation. I actually prefer the demo to the real game. Even the way that it handled and played, I actually thought it was better than demo, and that just kind of says something to the game. When your demo is better, give up. But yeah, I think all around it was a disappointing game.
Well, I kind of looked forward to getting it, and I never got it when it came out, of course.
So you got it because it was cheap.
Yeah, I bought it today, and I played it, we started playing about 6, just before Gamercast. And yeah, I was like,
Glad you didn't pay full price for it.
Well,
it's not like we would have paid full price for it anyway, is it?
Yeah.
My mate has this like section of games, and he always calls it the "I really like it, but it's the sort of game I would rent from Blockbusters." And straight away, that was one of the things he did. He went and got Star Wars, rented it from Blockbusters, completed it, went, "Yeah, that was kind of interesting. I can't really get those moments back of my life. Glad I didn't buy it." And I must admit, I was all up for this game, and when I got it, I was extremely disappointed. It did not have... The best way to describe it is, it was like a really good film that you see on a trailer, and you watch a trailer and you're like, wow, this looks really good. And then when you watch the film, it's like, that has got nothing to do with what the trailer told me the film was going to be about. And I felt the same with this game, that the experience I was getting from all the feedback of what this is going to be about wasn't portrayed in the game whatsoever. I was quite disappointed, but it doesn't help when you're a Star Wars fan.
So Batman came out on Friday.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And I have to say, this looks a hell of a lot better than that Star Wars rubbish.
It does, but it looks like an Unreal game.
True.
Because it was made in the Unreal Engine.
Hmm.
But that's only because the normal maps on it are very, very high. And they shouldn't be as high as they are. And there's a green glow on everything, but that might be because of the Riddler. I'm not too sure. Don't do that.
Yeah.
What?
Close the games.
I want to play a game.
No, don't. Sorry, Adam,
I'm
you
bored.
Were saying something.
Is he playing video games? He does.
No,
that
he was. He was trying to start playing Crysis.
I wasn't.
As he was.
I would not try playing Crysis when I've got all this running, okay?
He has nearly tempted it once.
I have done it before.
Yeah. You didn't have as much stuff on the screen when you were trying to do that. I must admit, if I was going to give this an out of 5, for what I've played so far, I honestly would give it a 5. Because it's a really good game, and normally when I get a really good game, I'll give it 4 out of 5. Because there's always it's a really good game, but. There's always a but where it's kind of like, if only they'd done that, and it would have been perfect. I can't find anything personally wrong with it from what I've played so far for what I was expecting. My expectations for this game have been 100% met of what I was expecting the game to deliver. I must admit my expectations were probably quite low because every single Batman game I've ever played has always been rubbish.
They usually are.
They're that rubbish. I have played... Two when I worked at Game, one at the PlayStation event at Earl's Court when they used to do that, the PlayStation Expo.
Yeah.
And one of them I owned on the original Game Boy, And it was only the one I originally owned on the Game Boy that only had three levels I could ever play, and I could never get past any of them. You could just select which one you wanted, and I couldn't complete any of those levels because the game was so hard. But it was kind of enjoyable. You know, I'd play it for 5 minutes and die, and then go, yeah, change cartridge. The rest of them...
I don't know, I always kind of enjoyed Batman on the Mega Drive or the Master System. It was quite nice. Batman Returns, I think it was. But it was quite hard as well.
Yeah.
But that's, of course, a different caliber of game in comparison to Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, it's that whole kind of... It's a platformer game that's cloned to look like something like Batman or Superman or RoboCop, whatever. They always ended up being the same formula for the game design. But this...
I think Batman just seems like a bit of a platformer. I've felt that a bit. I don't know if anyone else has thought that, but when I was watching Charlotte play it, it just really seemed quite platformery.
I don't know, it feels right to expect to be doing... If you're playing as Batman, one game that I always put it up against was that one where it was the first cartoon one. It was out on GameCube and PlayStation 2, and you could use a Batmerang and you could climb up stuff, and it just... Yeah. It didn't work right with the game mechanics. Then the next one was the one where it was Batman and it was versus Tao or something like that. It was some gang. And that's the one that I had to go at the demo at the PlayStation Expo. And that one just felt like a running... for all I could be doing, I could be playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and it wouldn't really matter. It didn't matter who was actually being played at. It didn't feel like Batman. It just felt like a... kind of like gameplay for Star Wars Lego, but you were playing as Batman and you were just running around and you were punching people and that was your lot. Where Batman's more, it's about more from the comics and stuff. And I felt this game kind of hinted on that idea of when you fight people, you're the skilled guy who can take on multiple opponents at once, and then you disappear into the shadows and you're freaking people out and you're sneaking out from behind the shadows and attacking them. And it just kind of, it felt like this game was built to be about Batman, not to just be a video game that happens to have Batman in it.
It's not just a Batman game for the sake of being a Batman game.
Yeah.
It's actually nailed it quite well.
The other thing I liked about it is they decided not to base it on any other Batman content apart from the comic books.
Yeah.
Because the fact that straight away, when you even when you play the demo... he puts two fingers up onto the earpiece in the cowl and starts talking to the Oracle. As soon as that happened, I just geeked out and went, I'm sold. I'm sold. You've got the Oracle in it. I'm sold. So I was quite happy with that bit. Because it kind of straight away it shows this is based off the comic books, and straight away it shows you the time period that it's based off. So I was quite happy with that.
Yeah, it looks quite good.
I like the combat. The combat nice does look really and nice. Fluid, jumping between characters.
It's not my sort of game, but yeah, it does look good.
It felt, when I played the demo, it felt not too easy, too simple. And then by the end of it, I realized how much I was bloody grinning. I was like, this doesn't matter. It's absolutely fun. It's just pure fun. Hitting this button, and then you realize if you want to, you could just play the whole game button bashing on the square. But then if you play it properly, you can start hitting the combos up with using the stun mode with his cape and using the triangle to do counters. And then also if you knock someone to one side but you don't knock them out, you can use the R2 and triangle, and you will do an air maneuver and knock them clean out so they're completely out of the combat. And I found a couple of other moves that was circle, I think it was circle and triangle, that did something completely random, and I only managed to unlock that ability when I got a really good round of combos altogether. So it definitely it's just fun. It's the only thing I can say for that combat system.
Yeah, I agree.
But the Predator mode, the bit where you're actually...
Do you mean the...
Like, oh, that. When you're in detective mode and you're up. When I first saw that being shown, that was the only criticism I had for the game, because I felt like it was two different elements. But now I've played it, I realised it's just two different moments.
Mm.
1 minute you'll walk around a corner, there's nowhere to hide, they're going to see you, you're going to have to take on six people and kick their ass. Then the next moment, you walk into a room, they don't see you, you get up on the gargles, But if you wanted to, you can drop down and just go straight into combat and beat the crap out of them. But because sometimes you're in a room with loads of people that are armed, you will have to go into this, slowly sneak around the room, put some explosives here, drop down and grab this guy from behind, batarang another guy to allow you to have one guy studding on the platform that you glide down, knock him out, and then you disappear into the shadows and wait for them to regroup, and then you sneak off another bad guy. And the tactics on it, it kind of reminds me of Metal Gear Solid, where there's more than one way to get to your objective, apart from the combat. But the whole sneaking about, I did like it. It was done very well. I didn't feel like I was fighting the controller either.
One thing I have to nitpick about.
Criticize?
Yeah, criticize. I can't believe I couldn't even think of that word. When you go in a ventilation shaft, that it puts it in first person, I don't like that. I understand why they did it, but I don't like it.
Speaking of that, when you go in the vent shaft, the animation for pulling off the thing off the wall is always the same.
Yeah. Well, you want it to be different.
Well, and it's just lame.
Well,
just
undo
the bolts.
Just get a little screwdriver out.
You know,
the
he's
bolts.
Trying to pull it off the wall. Get real, dude.
The only thing I did notice was when he was pulling them off without using the grappling hook, and he's actually pulling them off with his hands, the animation changed depending on the situation. When he was going into an area and there were bad guys around, he would just slide it to one side.
Yeah, sometimes he'd do it quietly, so he wasn't.
And then
that.
Sometimes there's a moment where he's literally just finished he's kind of finished a conversation with the Joker on a camera, and he'll just pull this off, and he just lobs it at the wall. Because he doesn't give a shit, and then he goes through the air vent. So I admit with what Paul said, there is only those two moments. Yeah, there takes it off quietly,
No, not that bit. Before that bit, the actual animation of him pulling it off.
Oh, right, yes, where he's actually pulling at it, and he's like, the bolts are coming off, and you've got to start tapping the X to get it to actually go further.
Yeah,
I see what you mean. Yeah, that is pretty much the same. It's the
animation. And the one for kicking him off.
Well, yeah, it's always the same. He always has his foot at that one point and kicks
him. Yeah. It could have done maybe four animations and just rotate it around a bit.
Mm.
But at least the cut, it coming off kind of blends with the environment that panel is connected to and the situation. It's not like he's always doing it quietly and he's like coming into a room where it looks like a broom cupboard and there's nothing else in there, and he takes it off nice and slow and just pulls it to the side, where he doesn't. He just kicks any things across the room. So at least there is a nice balance in there. But yeah, I'd agree with you. The actual getting that plate off is the same every time, either you're in or out. With what you were saying about him actually going into the tunnel, I think I'd probably get annoyed if they kept it is... Because the other option is to keep it in third person, but to ghost the model. And I don't know if I would like that either. That would just look a bit weird. I think it's always the hardest situation where you're in third person game, and your character starts getting in the way of the camera.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're having to use that right analog stick to get the camera out the way all the time. And it feels like you're always having to raise the camera above the head because you can't see where you're going. And I don't know, it's a hard compromise when they're actually putting a character into a small, confined space of how you go around that sort of situation, because they did the same thing with Metal Gear Solid, where the camera went straight.
Yeah, when you go inside the things, I don't know. It's just the fact that sometimes the ventilation things you go in are higher than the others, and you would be able to see above him. But I don't. I'm just picking at it.
I think it's the fact that I agree with you. They do look like some of them kind of got a little bit bigger and a little bit smaller. And I spent the whole time always holding duck. And then I realized as soon as you're in a ventilation shaft, you can just let go of duck. And he will always stay duck, no matter what the space is. And it's not until he pops out the other end that the camera clicks away from his vision and he stands up and you're back in third person.
Right, to sum up the Batman thing, basically...
Can I say a couple more tiny little points?
Okay, but you've got to finalize it because we've got like 50 more things
to
do.
Okay, okay. Just one thing that Charlotte mentioned when she was playing it that I agreed with that she liked was at the start in the game, not in the demo, of course, they don't allow you to run and you have to walk.
Yes. Yeah.
I like
you
that.
You can only get
Gears
so
of War.
Only when you're talking and stuff.
The thing that I liked about that moment is if you don't actually walk...
They stop and they don't go on without you. Yeah.
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 And the timing for the animation on the walk cycle changes. It actually speeds up. and Batman actually walks quicker the further away he is. So he actually catches up with a bit more of a faster stride until he catches back up with them, and then it locks your speed and you walk alongside the Joker and you cannot get any further past.
Mm.
And it just made a nice element of you're in control, but we're not going to let you run around like a video game character. You're going to stay in character as the Batman,
yeah,
and follow the characters in as the cutscene. But you're in control of Batman during this cutscene, and it's a nice compromise between full in control and you can go wandering around and do what you want and ruin the cutscene to, oh, all I can do is move the camera and I'm just going to have to sit here and watch all of this play out, sort of thing. So yeah, I'd say it's a nice compromise on actually being able to be part of the cutscene, which is quite nice.
I liked as well their way of introducing the Riddler into it. And
yes,
adding riddles, because that's always fun.
Yeah, the way that they pop up and you can go collect them. And I was collecting them without following the riddles, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, I don't actually want to do this. I looked at it and went, no, I don't want anything to do with this Riddler stuff, because this seems like something really cool to just go back when I've completed the game and just spend the whole time looking for the Riddler stuff. Because I was just kind of like, I actually like this. It's a great element for the Riddler of being able to actually start being a bit more detective and looking for things.
Yeah.
Because there's also a bit where you go up to what looks like a scarab on a concrete block, and you take like a sonar image, and it translates it and starts reeling off this pre-recorded dialogue of some ancient people that looked after Gotham, which has got something to do with the comics, but I cannot remember what it's actually to do with. But also the fact where you pick up the sound recorded reels, so you hear interviews with like Harley Quinn when she started working at Arkham, interviews with Killer Croc and the Joker. And I think that's quite a nice, interesting way of introducing the characters, because these are the characters from the comics, not the characters from the cheesy TV series or the movies or anything like that.
Yeah, right. So just to sum up, Batman isn't the same as most other comic / film / other
adaptations.
Video games in that it's actually quite a good game.
Yes. I would say it's not one of these...
I think it's a bit early to do the final review on it.
Well, yeah, because I haven't even played it myself.
I would like to revisit again, because I only had a little time to go through a couple of levels, and I wouldn't mind to have a go on the challenge mode, because it's the challenge mode which will have the replayability. I know myself, I like the fact of playing Batman, and I can quite happily, like Metal Gear Solid, just play the game again and again and again. But I like there to be something to actually do to keep me challenged, so I want to have a go at these challenge modes to see if the replayability of this game is actually there, or it's a brilliant game, but when you completed it, you're screwed. But yeah, I'd like to revisit it again.
Alrighty, well, moving on. We've got a few more items to do, then we're going to talk about some demos.
Even though I haven't played all of them, or downloaded all of them, but we can mention them.
Okay, well, first thing we're going to mention is I made a game with zombies.
Have you seen that at all, Adam?
Made a game with what?
It's called I Made a Game with Zombies. It's an indie game on Xbox Live.
Download it.
Cool. Oh, I'm so downloaded it.
It's only 80 points, but you can play the trial as well, which is pretty much the whole game, I'm guessing.
So, what type of gameplay is it?
It's a 3D top-down isometric shooter. Well, actually,
it's not even isometric.
Why am I calling it isometric? No, it's just a top-down shooter, which is a bit weird.
I mean, control-wise, it's the same as Geometry Wars or something, except you're a dude and there's zombies.
But it has a theme song, which is quite cool. That's the only reason I got it.
I may have to download that for Sarah, because Sarah is mad for anything with zombies in it.
Yeah, download it then. It's going to be ideal for Sarah.
Yeah.
Moving on, we've got a couple of more news items. Xbox Live will have the Twitter and Facebook applications at some point in the future, but Microsoft have confirmed that they will be only for Gold members.
No.
Silver people will get a trial version.
Ooh. Well, they did always say that they wanted to... A lot of people were complaining about the Gold membership, that at the end of the day, there was no need to have the Gold membership unless you actually played video games online.
Yeah.
And they turned around and said, right, if you're, because I think there is a difference between release dates of Xbox Live content and
yeah, they're delayed about a week, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think this is again to that element of giving you an incentive to actually have the goal.
Basically, Microsoft is feeling the pressure for having a pay for multiplayer gaming thing, and so instead of lowering the price or scrapping it altogether, they're trying to chuck in extra things to keep people playing it.
Like
1v100, which is just the beta for it, has just finished the weekend just gone.
Well, no, it finishes on Monday.
Well, yeah, but like the live show.
Oh, the live show, yeah. Oh, that was
I'm curious to see whether or not when this comes off beta, it's going to be one of those things that you're going to actually have to pay for, or it's just going to be something you can just opt into as long as you're a gold member.
If you can pay for it.
I was under the impression that it was going to be advertising supported.
But if you pay for it and they still have prizes, then that means there'll be less people. Which could...
Yeah, but it also means they might run out of people before a season ends.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing you need people playing and not just going, I'll play it once or twice. You need to make sure that it's one of those things that people are regularly just having on their Xbox. Because it's quite a simple ability to get on with the fact that you don't have to download anything, you just click a reminder and then pow, you're in there.
Moving on.
Okay.
You're eating? Oh, what a shame.
I was just going to mention that on Xbox Live as well, another game came out called... I'm not sure which way the title is because it's got a long name, but it's... I think it's Invincible Tiger, The Legend of Han Tao. It was made by Blitz up in Leamington, and it's an alright little combo 2D fighter. I just wanted to say it's alright. Also, if you've got a TV that can support 3D, so 120 hertz, you can play it in 3D.
This is that 3D one. I heard about this.
Yeah, you can play it normally as well. But if your TV supports it, you can play it in 3D too.
Which, is at the moment, there are only two TVs that are available in the United Kingdom that actually support 3D.
I've played it in 3D. It's all right.
I think... Where did you play it in 3D at work?
I went to a Blitz open day.
I heard on they were talking about it on GameScoop, and they came up with a really stupid way to be able to play this. You just basically upgrade your TV to 3D and then go watch what was it they said? They mentioned some film that happens to be out in the States that's in 3D at the moment. They said, go watch that and just don't hand your glasses back over.
Yeah, you can pinch them and then use them.
Yeah. And supposedly the glasses for the 3D TVs are quite expensive. Suppose they're expensive glasses, and I just thought they're just like sunglasses, but they've done something to the lenses. I don't know what they've actually done to them, but yeah, supposedly they're putting quite a high markup on the idea of having 3D glasses.
Yeah.
Playing video games, I'd like the idea of, but I don't think I'd want to sit there and go buy a nice new Blu-ray disc and then sit there and have to wear glasses every time I watch it.
I've never seen like a 3D film, so I don't know what all the hype is, but I don't see a huge point to it.
I watched a demo of them trying to film boxing for the demo Sky 3D channel, and they were showing the technology they're using to actually produce 3D, and they're not 100% there yet. They have to reset the camera every time they move it because it's using two cameras recreating the positions of the eyes. It's really bizarre. But I imagine if you're using it in a virtual environment, if you were doing an animation, because the lots that have come out so far have all been the animations, which must be easier to actually set up because it's all rendered in comparison to actually trying to build something that is in real life with two cameras. So I think this will take off on video games more than it will take off on films.
They're the only people to have an engine that can do it, though.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's their own proprietary engine.
Right.
And they want to try and sell it, I think.
So it's a bit kind of like Unreal Games are just selling the Unreal Engine. This is their game of saying, look, it's a 3D engine that you can use to make any of your 3D games.
Yeah, it's the same engine that Dead to Rights is being made in as well.
Right. It's cool that they can actually say you can use an engine and get the ability to have something in 3D, but the game is not a 3D game. It is a turn on or off 3D game. Because if you were stuck buying this downloadable game, you're like, yeah, it only works on... Not compatible with your TV. It is not 3D. Please turn off. you'd never get anywhere with that.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Okay.
Let's talk a bit about Illusion 2's Sturmovik, Birds of Prey. This is going to be an Xbox 360 PS3 version
of... It's out now, isn't it? Did it come out Friday, or am I imagining that?
I'm sure it was either maybe this Friday.
Because I thought it was coming out when Batman was coming out.
Well, whatever, there's a demo for it available if people want to try it out, if they want a new flight, combat flight game.
I saw it there. I nearly downloaded it, but I didn't have enough time because the amount that I already had on my download list.
Yeah, the only finicky thing is there's no PC version.
Really?
Yeah, which sucks.
Considering it's a PC series, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also the fact that if you wanted to, you can... Most PC games can have the ability to plug in an Xbox 360 controller, and you could just use that if it works better for the game, if they want to design it on those controls.
Or use a joystick.
Yeah. Like your favorite, you know.
Dirt 2 as well.
I haven't played, but I've been told it's good.
Dirt 1 was quite good.
Apparently it's a load better than Dirt... Oh my god, really? Apparently it's a load better than Dirt 2.
This is not Colin McRae, though, is it? Or is this...
Well, I mean, it sort of is. It would be if the guy wasn't dead.
I think it's called Dirt 2 Colin McRae, and I don't know if that's like a homage to him, or it's just using the name, and I just kind of think, you know, the guy's dead, I'm sure it's on a contract, and you just can't get away with it. I imagine.
Well, the thing is, they license the name. When he dies, the next game they released was called Dirt, so they're trying to move it over to Dirt.
Yeah, and trying to get people know that those great games of Colin McRae are the Dirt games. Yeah, getting you.
Well, no one calls it Colin McRae's Dirt, do they?
No.
Or do they?
No, I don't. I must admit, ever since Paul got.
I don't even think it did have Colin McRae in the title here, did it?
The original did, didn't it? Think Colin McRae Dirt.
Oh, it was shortened just to Dirt in North America. That's what I read.
Yeah. I'm sure I saw Colin McRae written on it when I saw it for download on Xbox Live for the demo.
Yeah, the European version is, but North American aren't.
No, but what about Dirt 2?
Dirt 2?
I think it is on Dirt 2. Yeah. I swear I saw... That's the only reason I knew... Yeah, I'm sure I saw it on the Xbox Live.
But again, outside of Europe, it's just called Dirt 2.
I think it's because the Americans would get...
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. The Americans would get confused because he's passed on. They couldn't understand why he's being called... Why it's being called that. And I doubt they understand who he is.
Little Ninja.
Ninjas.
You wrote it.
Did I? Sorry.
I don't know. I'm second questioning this. I've been watching the videos for this and going, oh my god, it's like Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, but with ninjas. And I've got really hyped up for it. I played the demo, and I've only played it for a short period of time, so I do need to go back and revisit it. And I was slightly disappointed at first, but gameplay-wise, it plays really well. It's definitely good for that classic Legend of Zelda-style gameplay, third-person, hack-and-slash. The ability to morph into the animals when you get near one is quite
cool.
Dude,
that's the best thing about the game. Apart from the bear makes the same noise as the bears in World of Warcraft.
I must admit, at first I couldn't understand, okay, I'm a fox, so what do I do with it?
You can attack. As the...
Yeah, it wasn't until I got to the warthog when it kind of hinted charge at the warthog. And I was like, oh, cool. And then when I got a panda, I was like, yeah, I'm a panda. And I went into the water. It's like, oh, I'm not a panda. And then they all shot me. And I was like, oh, that was great. Stupid. Shouldn't have walked in the water. And then I had to get off it. But I do like a lot of the concepts for the game, where the fact that you can actually put your hat on to defend yourself from arrows, and you can actually get in your hat and use it like a little boat. And the whole hiding in the bushes. The look of it, it looks so gorgeous. I do like... It's a good way of using cell shading. But, yeah, it's a very cute game.
I like the look of it. I'm also very impressed that it's being made by IO Interactive, who are the guys that bring us Hitman. Just because it's very different for them to be doing.
Completely different direction of gameplay.
Of course, you're still killing people.
You are still killing people, but it's in a different fashion, and it's a completely different art style.
You've got these kind of... Nice little dark with gold and red samurai with the... You got yellow eyes, haven't they, I think? Oh, so I thought they looked a little bit kind of like Jawas dressed up as samurai. And then you kill one, and pow, it just goes... And it turns back into an animal, or, you know, a fox or a frog or whatever it come from. So it's a nice element to it. It kind of does give me that... I don't know why, it just screams Wind Waker to me, but in a good way.
I thought it was cool.
yeah, I definitely am keeping this on the radar for when it actually comes out. I don't know if it's going to be a definite buy. It depends if I can afford it.
Mm.
What about Wet?
I don't know why. I actually had to double take this game because I kept looking to see if it said made by Quentin Tarantino. It felt like Quentin Tarantino film. Or what's the other title?
Have you played it?
Yeah, I played it on the PlayStation.
So did you like it or did you hate it?
It was the demo I didn't like too much. The game I quite liked, but the demo is because it was trying to teach you how to play the game properly. And as soon as I went through that, I was like, oh yeah, this makes sense, because if you're not actually using the ability she's got, like sliding, jumping, running up walls, A, it makes the game seem cool, but it makes the game harder if you don't use these elements of the gameplay, because you get an automatic bullet time as you're jumping over a table, you shoot through a glass ornament, you know, an ice sculpture, and then shoot a guy in the chest, and then when you land, if you're good enough, you literally drop to your knees, slide on your back, and pull out two guns and start shooting two individual bad guys. The music and the look of it, I like the fact that it's got the same sort of old film layering over the screen. Where
dude, this game is shit.
I will agree with Paul as well.
This is what I wrote on my notes after I saw it being played. Absolute bollocks. Possible contender for worst game of the year.
I like it, but I think it's because of the style. I like the style. I won't buy this because...
What style? It's crap.
It's old school Quentin Tarantino and what's the other guy that did Desperados, his mate? Where they did the...
Rodriguez.
Yeah, because you know they did the Bulletproof and World Terror, whatever it's called.
Yeah, Grindhouse shit.
Yeah, it just reminds me of that, and I think that's the only thing I like about it. But straight away, as soon as I got to the end of the demo, I went, that's nice. It just seems like that John Woo game.
Have you played Lost Planet 2?
Yeah, it just reminded me of Stranglehold. And then
Who cares about Stranglehold? Dude, moving
Can
on.
Can I just say one thing?
Oh, be Never. Quick.
It's stupid because their style in little hand, whatever that's called, I don't know, in the air.
Quotation marks.
Yeah. Well, they're claiming like, what the fuck? My brain's gone.
You're not used to broadcasting, are you?
No, I'm not.
That's why you have show notes.
I know. What the fuck? Oh. Forget it. I can't think.
Lost Planet 2. Has anyone played that?
It's too hot in here.
No, I've not downloaded Lost Planet 2. I wasn't too fussed on the first one. I thought it was kind of cool. It's like, ooh, mechs and snow. It's my perfect thing. Mechs, love mechs. Snow, love snow. I thought, yeah, it's going to like Mech Warrior on Planet of Endor. Not Endor, Hoth. Yeah, it shows how my brain's working today.
Endor.
Yeah. You have to remember, I've been drinking cider all weekend, and then I spent Saturday up at Bristol Climbing Centre climbing up the climbing walls. So I'm just kind of like, pooped.
Have you played Lost Planet 2?
No, I haven't.
I wasn't. I played the demo for the first one. I played the demo for the first one, and that's as far as I got. And I just wasn't that fussed for it. So it's one of those things where if I wasn't fussed on the first game, I'm not going to be that fussed on anything they bring out afterwards. Unless something's that great that it jumps out and grabs my attention, I'm not that bothered by it. But can I just finish off with Wet? I know, I just wanted to finish off the fact that it's only the way that it looks like it's a film that I like about it, but it does remind me too much of that other game in the sense of it seems gimmicky. It's based off that gimmick of bullet time, sliding, making it seem like an action film with guns and a sword. Nothing that I would spend money for.
What the fuck is the term for?
Right.
B-movie, there you go. Wait, no, it's because they're taking the B-movie aspect, which is not a genre, and taking it and placing it as a genre, and just...
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, anyway. It's gimmicky. That's the thing. It is just pure gimmick.
Dude.
Yeah.
We're wasting time on Wet. Crap game.
Okay.
Let's move on to BlizzCon, shall we?
BlizzCon.
So BlizzCon was a week and a bit ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to be really quick on this because we already talked about most of this on episode
everything we talked about on that previous episode was correct.
Yeah, 166, we talked about most of this, but yeah, Cataclysm was officially announced. Level cap 85, blah, blah, blah. Azeroth redone.
Thingies and thingies.
Yeah, you get to play as Worgens and Goblins and all the thing and all that sort of stuff.
A Cuban Hunter and a Tauren.
A Cuban Hunter.
Paladin. Yep, Human Hunter, Tauren Paladin, Troll, Druid. They're getting rid of mana for Hunters and God knows what else. And it's like Warcraft 2, but not. The only thing that actually bothers me about this game is...
Why are you talking about BlizzCon? Sorry, I'm just going to pop out for him. I need a drink.
Do you actually need to buy this content unless you're at level 80? Because unless you want to play as Worgen or Goblin, I'm guessing the rest of the content is actually just going to be the update.
Well, yeah, basically.
Because Burning came out. The only thing you did had no access to was the profession, the jewel crafting, the two playable races, and the ability to go to Outland. And because you couldn't get to Outland, you couldn't have a flying mount. But that's because it was
the expansion will add all the new content, but anyone will be able to get the new Azeroth.
Yes, the new Azeroth's going to be there. So if you're playing the game from the beginning, I'm sure that unless they turn around and go, right, if you wanted to be a human hunter, that combo is not available unless you buy the expansion pack.
No, I don't think they're going to do that, though.
It's curious. I'm kind of... That's the real big curiosity I've got.
I mean, that's a bit petty.
Where that line is. Where is it that this content is only for the buying of it, this content is happening when it comes out? And which on which side? Because some of them seem integrated into the actual mechanics, like they said, with the fact of Hunters not having mana, the different ways of changing for the your character card of all the different elements to his health, strength, and how the different bonuses from the gear you've got. The fact it's being made a lot simpler. Obviously, those are integrated into the game, so if you've only bought up to, say, Burning Crusade, those things are still going to affect you. So there seems to be a lot of content coming out for Cataclysm, which is going to affect you whether you've got the expansion or not.
So, yeah, well, I mean, it's going to work like the previous expansions. When, you know, like you said, when Burning Crusade and Northrend came out, you know, you still had Stormwind Harbor, even if you didn't have the expansion pack. So you still get all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if you want to hear more about that, episode 166 is what you need to listen to, because this episode is running a bit long anyway. So we're going to move straight on to a little bit of StarCraft 2 news.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Stupid news.
So you know, a few weeks or possibly a couple of months back, I said StarCraft 2 would no longer have LAN support.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
At BlizzCon, well, yeah, we know it's true. They already said.
Okay.
At BlizzCon, they basically said they were going to have pseudo LAN support. So I imagine that's going to be like authenticating over BattleNet, but then working locally after that.
Either way, it's stupid.
Yeah,
it's a LAN game.
The fact that they said that it is going to be integrated into the BattleNet, allowing people to actually create mats for StarCraft 2, but not only that, if you wanted to, you can actually get hold of the StarCraft 2 engine and produce your own video game that will be purchasable off the BattleNet store.
Well, yeah, you've got all that stupid content rubbish, but moving on, Gamescom was whenever it was.
It was 2 weeks ago in Cologne.
Germany.
Yes.
It's easier to say.
Sorry. I was going to say it was in Leipzig, but that's where it used to be.
Yeah, that was where it used to be. They moved it, didn't they?
But it ran alongside GDC Europe as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a few things announced at that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Adam should talk about the first one.
Really. Yeah. Watch the video that was announced with Star Wars The Old Republic new MMO. They had their first walkthrough demo of the game in action, going through playing as the Sith Jedi warrior and playing as the bounty hunter. They showed a few elements from that, of the ability to actually have in-game cutscenes of when you're actually talking to. So when you play World of Warcraft and you go get a quest, you just get a dialogue box come up. This was actually a full animated cutscene between the person you were talking to get the information you needed to, and yourself. both characters were talking. Your character and the other characters were talking.
Right, basically what you're trying to say is they've actually got spoken dialogue.
Well, they announced that it would be the first MMO to have speech. Everyone speaking, and they're having it localized
dynamic.
As well.
To it's very dynamic.
France,
well.
Germany, and somewhere else, I think.
English.
So they're having different languages.
English.
It's very much like the old Knights of the Old Republic, with the fact of... you get like a bit of dialogue you want to say back, but also in some points your character will speak as well. The thing that I found that was quite interesting was they showed a bit that was called flashpoints, and you get these set flashpoints of when, say for instance, sake, we're all in a team together, but it's my quest we're doing. The things that I am saying, you guys actually get to say, and so your characters get to chime in. And it leaves moments where your characters get an opinion on what's happening through this little cutscene.
Something they're doing?
But then you get this point where it showed this bit where the bounty hunter was saying something, but it was the Sith Lord's quest. And it came up with a choice of, do I leave the commander who screwed up and let him learn by his mistakes, or do I lop his head off? And depending which way you go, the quest will continue on from there. And certain elements that you would have had beforehand, that's it, you don't get them anymore. They're completely removed from the game, and your character moves in a different direction because of that. And you still get that whole morality of good and bad happening to your characters because of that morale choice at that moment. And your storyline through the game, the story arc changes because of that decision you made in that particular cutscene.
How would you compare it to Galaxies? I haven't watched the this video. I haven't watched the gameplay video. I only watched the press conference, whatever thingy of it on the EA stuff. So how would you compare it to Galaxies?
Galaxies... I don't even think you could compare this to Galaxies, because Galaxies has been taken apart and put back together too many times.
When it was good, I mean. How would you compare
when
it to good,
good
Galaxies?
Very much different, with the fact of Galaxies was a lot like Eve, where it was a lot more open-ended. You could pretty much do what you wanted. You created your own communities and your own social networks in the game, and it's a story of the people playing the game, where this game is very, very pushed on the emphasis of it's the story of the character that you're playing. You're playing a particular character, and it's the storyline that is portrayed, which is pushed a lot more, where in Galaxies they kind of said, look, here's an empty planet, if you want to, you and a mate get together, he can be mayor, you can be in charge of the communal shops, build as many houses as you want, mine the crap out of this planet, the world's your oyster, here's the keys, get on with it. And that's pretty much what Star Wars Galaxy was, until they ripped it apart and said, let's make it like WoW, and everyone's got classes, and someone can be the tank, and someone can be the ranged DPS.
And then everyone could be a Jedi.
Ranged DPS, did it now!
Because that was the thing, is all of a sudden everyone could be a Jedi, where before you had to be on a certain planet at a certain time of the year, and be the first five to actually sign up, and you could go through the Jedi training. And it was like the hardest thing, and to see a Jedi while playing the game was quite a rare treat, to see someone who had managed to achieve that in the game. And they changed it to try and compete with things like WoW and City of Heroes and other games that were out. So the thing that they've done with this is they've turned around and said, let's make a game that is as good as Knights of the Old Republic, which makes people who played Knights of the Old Republic go, wow, this is just like Knights of the Republic, but I'm playing with my friends, I'm not playing with AIs. And that's the element to it. The other thing I wanted to say was they showed the Han Solo smuggler character that you can play as. They showed this separately to the Sith and Bounty Hunter section. And one of the elements that was really good was they've actually using a cover system. So like when you're playing as, say, a rogue in World of Warcraft, you have that button that allows you to change into your stealth mode that gives you different abilities. You get the same effect with the smuggler, and when you go into this mode, it shows these little green icons of a guy ducking down at certain key points, and that allows your character to just run, dive over to him, and you can get behind a wall and shoot over the wall. And you're actually using cover to defend yourself from the opposing person.
Right, so basically we have to wait and see if this game is any good. Moving along, there's been a few major console announcements lately. There's a new PlayStation 3.
Coming out Tuesday.
Yeah.
Coming out Tuesday.
120 gig and is smaller and has less power.
But it's not a slim.
It uses less power.
That's what they keep emphasizing. It's not a slim. It's just a new PlayStation 3 that happens to be slimmer. But it's not actually... It's not any smaller front to back.
Slower?
Yeah, they've done tests with it and an 80 gig. And sometimes it's slower. Most times it's slower. It loads levels faster, but it loads discs slower.
Oh.
I have found that they did say that there is a catch on the bottom that allows you to get the casing off to still get at the hard drive. Because he said a lot of people were a bit bothered that because it's going to be a small, the case is going to be sealed, so you wouldn't be able to get at the hard drive, because a lot of people are still upgrading their old PlayStations to put in larger hard drives. Which
It's going to be £250, so, I mean...
It's not a bad price. For a 120 gig hard drive...
Well, yeah, if you think it's £70 more than a Wii.
Yeah.
It's better than it used to be.
Yeah, if you haven't already got one, it's worth it, but...
Hey, don't go that far. I would not buy one.
You have liked some games on it.
Never.
You liked The Last Guy.
Not yet.
You said it earlier, you did.
I watched the
game. Xbox 360 has also had a price cut.
Hang on, before you move on. I walked into game earlier, and they said, yeah, got a good deal going. Trade in your PlayStation 3 to get money off the new version. And I'm just kind of like, at that point, I just realized, what's the point? There is no point upgrading unless you've broken
If you want to use 30% less energy.
Yeah, if you want to use less energy, if you want a bigger hard drive, and also if you want one that might have a longer life, because if you've had a console for a while now, it might be on its last legs because they die quite quickly.
Yeah, I suppose if you just want that ability of a good opportunity to trade in and get a new console.
Get a new warranty.
I feel sorry for the people who have got the 60 gigs because they're like, I've had mine for ages, but I don't give up the backwards compatibility.
I just don't want my 60 gig to die. It hasn't
I'm sure that you could always like start buying up all these cheap ones that are being traded in for the slim, and you could like gut them and nickel the parts to fix yours.
Yes, Adam. Moving along, Xbox 360 has also had a price cut.
Yeah.
And it's also had a few changes to the SKU lineup as well. The premium system, which shipped with a 60 gigabyte hard drive.
Previously shipped with a 20 gigabyte.
And previously shipped with a 20 gigabyte drive.
Yeah, I saw that the advertisement for this had been leaked.
Has been canned.
It's been canned.
The 60 gigs are completely canned. Well, you can't even buy them like off the game website anymore.
Yeah, the Elite slots in at
£299.
Yeah, £200.
So this means you're only getting the arcade and the Elite then.
Correct. That's what it means when the premium isn't there anymore.
Just making sure they haven't turned around and said there's a premium, but it's just got a different hard drive.
No, it's an Elite. So the Elite is £200, and the arcade has gone up to what? 160. Yeah, £160.
And you don't get any games with it either. They've taken the games out of it.
Really?
Yeah, so you're paying £160 for an arcade on its own. Of course.
Does it come with the memory card still?
It's still got internal
storage.
Of course, there'll be like bundles in shops and stuff, but still, you're paying £160 for something that used to be £130.
So the arcade is the only one that'll have internal memory, but does that mean you can still hook up a hard drive to it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So if you got the arcade one, you get two lots of memory.
Still, but they've jacked the price up. I think that's kind of rude.
Meh. Yeah, the whole concept of taking it from a core system.
Well, the Xbox 360 is the only system which has for each year grown in the number of sales.
Yeah.
The Wii has died off.
Because I like the idea, the idea was pro version, you want to go out and you want all the bells and whistles. Core version is the person who was like, I just wanted a games console. I just wanted to blow stuff up. And I'm only going to have three games at any one time. I quite happily just have the console.
Almost 100.
Controller and a memory card. And then they turned around and said, no, we're going to make it different. We'll make it the arcade version. So it's the people who want to download the arcade games. And here, I have a load of the arcade games. And I agree with what you're saying. The idea of bumping up the price and turning around and saying, yeah, it doesn't come with anything. You're going to have to pay for it all online. Make us richer. Yeah, a bit cheesy. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Moving along.
What am I talking?
What do you want to talk about?
No, I was just saying. You can talk.
Oh, you're saying I can talk? Yeah. Oh, okay. Fable 3.
This
Fable 3 was announced.
Fable 3 was really the only thing Microsoft announced as well.
Yeah, and he really did hint a lot that this is going to be working with Natal. Natal or whatever. I keep thinking I'm saying something different when I say it. What's it? Natal.
I don't know.
Natal.
Natal, what that's is the one. You're thinking of maybe Nutella or something.
Yeah, that's it. Nutella. I say it, I'm like, do I think I've just said something to do with sweets or something? Sweets. Natal. It sounds wrong.
Natal.
It
shouldn't...
Yeah.
Natal?
It's Natal.
Nettles. I want nettles for the Xbox.
Yeah, so Fable 3, what's the big deal with it?
I wanted them to announce something different instead of a new Fable game, to be honest.
Yeah, Black and White 3.
Or at least a new IP, something along those lines, not Fable 3.
Black and White 3 clone, because
shit, you
EA
and your Black and White
probably hold the name Black and White, maybe.
I have no idea.
I don't know either.
The fact that they've said that they're doing number 3 and 4 and 5 and maybe 6 are in the right pipeline as well just kind of gives me a sense of they're trying to push this out quickly before people forget about Fable. But...
yeah. Well, moving along, Dante's Inferno has a release date.
Dante is, isn't it?
Dante, I've always said Dante.
I've always said Dante. I don't know. I've never read the the Divine Comedy, so I don't know.
Adam, how do you say it?
If it's Dante, it'll be spelt the same as the character's name from Clerks. So if it's spelt the same, it's Dante. If it's not, it's Dante or whatever.
Dan-T-E.
As in Dante from... why am I... from Devil May Cry kind of spelling. I'm not a Clerks fan.
Sorry. I would look, but I have none of my DVDs near me. I'm in the wrong group.
I don't know. It's just pronounced either way. Dante's Inferno, Dante's Inferno. Either way. Anyway, on the EA announcements thing, they announced the release date for it, which is February 12th next year. They also showed a new kind of feature in it, which was you can either save people's souls or, well, put them to heaven or damn them to hell, which I thought was quite nice. Other than that, I haven't actually looked at the game, really. All they showed me was that stuff.
More importantly,
it was quite interesting, though.
A new Total War game has been announced.
Is it an expansion or completely new?
New.
And it has a silly name, if you ask me.
It's called Napoleon Total War.
Napoleon.
It just sounds silly, because with having Empire and Rome, and then suddenly Napoleon.
Napoleon. I've seen his tomb. Just thought I'd throw it to say that. I've seen Napoleon's tomb. Yeah, it's quite impressive. Bit overkill. You could get lost in there.
You can get lost in fucking Westminster Abbey. Anyway, so yeah, that's been announced. Release date next year.
I'd presume sometime next year. Yeah.
And it'll be set, you know, about 60 years after Empire.
There's already two expansions in the pipeline as well.
Yeah, they probably have, I'd imagine. They'll probably have a team working on Empire still and a team working on Napoleon.
I mean, from a technology point of view, it's very similar to Empire Total War.
That's the thing. I imagine, is it going to be using the same engine? Or are they going to be...
probably.
I'd imagine it'll be
very similar.
There wouldn't be any point to...
so you might want to consider it more of a standalone expansion pack.
Yeah.
Because I don't imagine it's going to be anything too major.
So if you're not keen on the previous content, you're more in the sense of, well, actually, no, I do like the whole wars with Napoleon, then it's more of a game for you. But if you're kind of like, you know, it doesn't interest me, then it's probably one to skip.
Well, yeah, I mean, Empire was more about building your empire, and Napoleon is more about conquering Europe.
Mm.
So if you want a more European focus, Napoleon would probably be a better way to go. And if you want to arrest a pope, that's definitely the way to go.
Right. So you'll be buying it then, Paul?
If it's good, I'll buy it. Arresting the pope is an automatic bonus.
I thought that would just be the thing they make you buy it. I can arrest the Pope. I'm buying that game.
Well, I assume you can, because Napoleon did, so...
I can just see now, you're emailing in. Please let me know if I can arrest the Pope, otherwise I'm boycotting this game.
As long as I can sack Rome and go into the Vatican and kick ass, that's okay. Even if it means, like, briefly going from a real-time strategy game into more of a Batman slash. Arkham Asylum beat-em-up, where I beat the Pope up.
Napoleon, you're like climbing up onto the gargoyles and you're kind of like, there's the Pope, I'll swing down and get him.
Silent Hunter 5 was also announced.
Okay, what's this one about now? Is it something you like, or are we stuck
Silent in Hunter, dude.
Submarine games.
I know, but one of them you were complaining about because it was shoved in the wrong place. You were kind of like, I don't want to be
Silent
in this
Hunter
theater.
4 was in the Pacific with the boring Americans and the boring Japanese. This
that's
is
what
back
I meant.
In the Atlantic, serving with the Kriegsmarine.
German. So you're happy?
Deutschland. Yes, I'm happy.
Yeah,
especially because Silent Hunter 3, with all its dodgy copy protection, is on its last legs and doesn't run on Windows 7. So yeah, this will be sometime next year as well.
Cool.
There's also some new Alan Wake details.
Really, it's just a video that everyone should watch.
Oh.
It was... I'm not sure if it was a Gamescom thing or a GDC thing. I think it was maybe Gamescom. Yeah. And Sam Lake's done a developer diary on it. I thought it was quite cool because I've never
How to ship a game on time.
No. He talks about the game and how it plays. I'd also never heard Sam Lake talk before. And I thought that was quite cute. Because I hold him quite highly because he's quite a cool person. But yeah, it's looking quite interesting if you ask me. Some people say like Alone in the Dark meets something else. I'm not sure what else. Maybe Silent Hill.
You have a flashlight.
Yeah, you have a flashlight. You
that's cool.
Well, they encourage you to use it more than a gun because the bad things, I'm not sure what they are not fans of the light. But
that's good because I'm a paladin.
We can put a link, can't we, to the video?
I suppose we can do that.
Yeah.
Make it work.
People can watch it because it's 5 minutes long, but I think it's worth watching, especially if you haven't seen much on Alan Wake.
I've not seen much about it.
I mean, like I pre-ordered it
4 years
when
ago.
I pre-ordered my 360. Well, put a deposit down on my 360, hoping it was coming out then, and I've pre-ordered it a million times since then.
Seems like one of those games that's constantly always coming out.
But it is definitely coming out next year, along with Heavy Rain. What's her cool
I bet
game?
You're happy. I bet you're happy about that.
Heavy Rain is on the show notes.
I know it's not, but I thought I'd mention it because I love Quantic Dream.
PlayStation only?
Yeah, it's PS3 only, whereas Alan Wake is 360, PS3, and PC as well. I may get it on the PC.
And it's not on the Wii.
No. And I doubt Remedy would do that.
A Wii version coming 4 years now, and you use the Wii remote as a flashlight.
Hopefully Alan Wake will sell well, though, because if it doesn't, I'm afraid Remedy might go out. Yeah, they've got some good people there.
It's touch and go with the industry at the moment with the way
Well, they just
going.
Haven't released anything for ages, and they've been working on this for so long.
Max Payne 2 came out in 2003.
Yeah.
Loco Roco?
It was just the fact that a new one's been announced for the PSP.
Okay.
I haven't looked on it.
Ninja Theory making an unknown game for Namco.
Ninja Theory are making a new game. They haven't said what it is or what console it's for, which means they're not actually working for Sony anymore, which they were before.
Ooh.
So it might actually come out on the 360. I don't know what the game is, though, because nothing's been announced on it.
They're just up to something.
Yeah, so that I think they just want people to know that Ninja Theory are actually making a game at the moment, because they were hiring people quite recently. And
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll do something interesting.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, that's it, I think. Next week, a bit more on Batman, because I'll get a chance to play it. I don't know if I'll do a review on Fable 2 because we've talked about it, but you did a review on Fable 2 when that came out, didn't you?
What?
Fable 2.
I haven't even played it.
Paul's played it, haven't you?
For fuck's sake. Sorry. This isn't
well,
really...
I might do a review on it. I'll give my thoughts because I've only played it for...
What's there to review about Fable 2?
I don't know. The fact I just bought it and I'm playing it for the
first
time.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got it.
I'll give my point of view of how I like it when I played it for a bit. But I'm probably going to be playing Batman more than that now because Batman rocks.
I will play some Batman tonight.
I like the way that you can upgrade his armor and his gadgets and stuff, which is quite cool.
Yes.
Although it's annoying because there were some things that were available to you in the demo that you then have to unlock because they're not available to you when you first play the game.
That's what I liked about the demo was straight away I thought, I've done this bit before. Yeah, I know what's coming. I went to the next bit. It's like, yeah, I know what's coming after this after I saved the guy who's been electrocuted. I go through this vent and I go right.
Yeah, and I thought that was quite nice.
And I'm like, oh, it's going the other way.
The demo was different to the actual structure
of the
game.
And that room is completely out of context to the rest of the game that you move into next. And I like that, the fact that it felt like the demo didn't ruin the game too much.
Well, yeah, and they'd actually specifically hand-picked bits of the level to use and show to the player. Because I thought it was kind of annoying that they were doing the demo from the start of the game.
Yeah,
but then it wasn't really.
No, you miss so much from the actual beginning cutscene. You get the interesting bit that kind of makes you understand what this game is about. It is about Batman catching the Joker too easily, and he brings him back to Arkham. And then it shows that this is about the Joker escape in Arkham, and then they show you the combat, the ability to run around, and the Predator mode up on the gargoyles, and then a cutscene.
Why would a prison have gargoyles?
Oh, because it's Arkham Asylum.
It's Gotham. It's very old building. The whole entire grounds for Arkham set in the comics is because it's an actual old mansion.
Read a comic.
It wasn't really built as an asylum. It was converted to an asylum.
You should read Arkham Asylum. I should have talked about Borderlands.
Hmm?
I watched a trailer for Borderlands.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's the new Gearbox game. It's in the dudes who do Brother in Arms. It looks quite cool.
What's it about?
I'll talk about it next week. It's an FPS RPG.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
It comes out in October, and it's cel-shaded as well.
Oh, that'd be interesting then, wouldn't it?
I'll talk about it next week if you want me on.
Yeah. I'll get you on next week.
I could talk about it next week.
Cool. Hmm.
This will be annoying still, though.
Anyway, that pretty much wraps up this show.
Yeah, I'll talk about that next week.
And we actually work. No more technical issues. Fingers crossed.
We have technical issues on our side.
If I move too much, the splitter moves, and then it makes you really, really quiet.
I sound like a mouse. No, not really, just really quiet. If I sounded like a mouse, I'd probably squeak and make this kind of squishy noise.
Yes, Adam. Anyway, you can send feedback to feedback@gamercast.net, or you can leave it on the blog at gamercast.net, which is the preferred method. You can post on the forums at portalforums.net. You can follow us on Twitter, because Catherine's going to get back to doing our Twitter thing.
Yeah, I'll get back into doing that, but not while I'm at work. Afterwards.
When I'm that would be naughty if you use Twitter while you're at work. Like
she does.
I kind of do, but not as much as I used to use it at home.
Yeah, so that's twitter.com/gamercast. Follow us on there.
I'll look through it as well, because I've got loads of spam bot followers, so whatever the word is.
I think the last thing we had posted on there was when we did a new live show. Yeah. Before that, it was your advert for your game you're making.
I did an advert for Void?
Yeah.
Okay.
You said, sorry I haven't been posting, I'm
working on Void, yeah.
Massive URL.
Well, I'll do a few posts with links to some of the stuff we talked about in here.
Yeah, I think that'd be... That'd be a good way of getting it. Get the actual links for what we've got here on our show notes out through Twitter.
And then also link to the show when we've got it up for download.
Yeah, it might be tomorrow. But if it's not tomorrow, it'll be Tuesday.
Cool.
But people will know that by then because they would actually be downloading it. So.
And they'd be listening to it.
Yes.
Which would make sense because we're not doing this live.
Although FanClaw was telling us to do it live, but I decided that with the amount of technical issues we could potentially have, that would be an extra hurdle we don't want to deal with.
Yeah, don't need to do
something,
it live.
Something else to...
And plus, there's always the bandwidth concerns, because we'll be sending another stream of audio out over the internet and possibly deteriorating the call quality.
Yeah, exactly. It's not
anyways.
Right.
We'll see everyone next week.
Next week.
Next week. Bye-bye.
Laters.